broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Once those teams went into the compound, I can tell you that
people
there was
cheer because they thought they saw
in
justice.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are, and that's
initial information on the courier was obtained by waterboarding back in 2003.
Out the hoe.
Woo! World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And you guys who are fans of the show, and you've been longtime fans of the show, not that it means anything, not that it's going to make any of us rich, but everywhere I go, everything I do, everything I see, every time are you Phil Hendry? Oh, yeah. And it's immediately, you know, all hail the king. And that's what happened on, I'm serious,
that ain't paying the bills.
I got it, bud. Let me say that, okay?
God, he's right, though, man.
I know it. I'm just trying to say that our listeners and our great network of stations are at the forefront of understanding what great radio is, appreciating great radio, because like I said, on Saturday night when I was at the World Radio Summit there at the W Hotel in Hollywood, California, actually it's a very nice, Hollywood's changed and it's very nice, there were people just, oh God, Phil, we love your show, and can I please get your autograph? And that was just Dr. Drew. Now anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. The White House put out several clarifications on the Osama bin Laden mission. We're going to get into some of these corrections and what it means. We're going to be talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at a military academy in Altadena, California. And we're going to be talking to this young man because he and so many others like him will be eventually moving into their four-year university education. And for some of them, they'd like to move on to West Point. They want a career in the military, as this young man does. And we're going to ask them a specific question about the Osama bin Laden mission. And the question we're going to ask this young man tonight is, should those photos be released? Should those photos be released, these very graphic photos showing very, very serious damage done to Osama bin Laden, should they be released? I heard a comment today. I couldn't have said it better myself. It was one of these guys that writes one of these emails, you know, Robert?
Yeah, like on Jack Cafferty?
Yes, and it was one of those Jack Cafferty emails. The guy was dead on. The guy said, I paid $1 trillion for those pictures, you know?
That's a good point.
That's a damn good point. He said, we paid $1 trillion for those pictures, so yes, you better believe we want to see them. Don't even worry about it, baby. I don't even think it's a call that the president can make, to be honest with you. I don't think it's a call he can make. I mean, yes, it is. Technically, yes, it is. But, I mean, if I were the president, I'd be like, how do I hold them back? How do I not show these pictures to the American people? After all, they've been through. After all, their sons and their daughters have been through. I mean, it only stands to reason. Anyway, we'll talk about that. The founder of WikiLeaks says Facebook is a big spy tool. Yeah, okay. Plus, the mummified body of a former Playboy playmate has been found in Los Angeles. We're also going to be talking with Don Mixa later on tonight about the Alan Dershowitz today said, and he was actually in support of the mission, but Dershowitz did say this. He said, look, you know, if you want to be honest, what did we do? We shot an unarmed man after invading a country without that country's permission. So if you want to talk about violation of international law, hello. But he wasn't complaining. What he was saying was, so, you know, let's talk turkey, man. I mean, sometimes you do have to compromise some of your values to get something done. It sounds goofy and it sounds dangerous, but is that what we've done? So we'll talk about that tonight as well. R.C. Collins and Don Mixa will be our guests. Our number is 877-876-7445, our affiliate spotlight tonight on WCFO, 1160 AM, our great affiliate in Atlanta. And in Portland, Maine, WZAN 970 AM. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and get access to the largest archives in the history of any radio show anywhere. Our daily Phil TV and HD videocast, which is on right now. And behind me is the beautiful El Pacifico. And we also have Buddy Bear, and we've got Ted the Bear, and we've got all kinds of everybody's bear. I mean, not everybody's B-A-R-E, but everyone's B-E-A-R. And we have, our great sponsor, Dynapep. And I'll tell you a little bit about Dynapep because it is one of our great sponsors, and it's a micro energy shot that'll last you up to 10 hours. And if I had my Dynapep with me right now, here,
They're right over here, Mr. Henry.
I'll take it. Thank you, bud. Thank you. Showing the camera right now, our DynaPep Micro Energy Shot. Now, I personally use this every night. And, by the way, as I'm using DynaPep, I'm on a diet. I've lost some 30 pounds. I'm not saying DynaPep did it, but I'm saying that it's healthy. There's no jitters. There's no sugar. It lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. It gets you through the night focused and alert and keeps you going when you've been up all night. Just 4 milliliters. That's less than a teaspoon with no sugar, no crash, no jitters. And this is what I was the point I was trying to make. Just 2 calories, too. So grab your DynaPep. You can get it at 7-Eleven. You can get it tonight. Check out DynaPep.com as well, which is their website. I'm about to down my little micro shot here.
It's in a bottle here.
It's in a little plastic bottle, right. Tastes fantastic, too, man.
You got that cinnamon kind, man. I like that berry.
Well, we'll have to get the berry. But, you know, I don't know. We got our DynaPep. I don't know what you're doing, Robert. I told you to go to the store to get DynaPep. You bring me 5 boxes of cinnamon.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you mix it up a little bit, man?
Yeah, get some of the berry and everything. I don't do what he told me to do.
All right, get some of the berry, man. Go down and get the berry, get the cinnamon, get the cherry, get the, you know, give me 5 boxes of cinnamon. Anyway, DynaPep available at 7-Eleven. All right, 877-876-7445. Bradley Military Academy is a college preparatory military academy in northern Los Angeles County in Altadena, California. And on the line with me is one of the young cadets there, R.C. Collins. We're going to ask you and you as well, R.C. And how are you doing this evening, son?
Sure, very good. Thank you.
And R.C., we're asking our audience as well to think along the lines of the question I'm going to be asking you here this evening. And I did ask you and asked you to consider this. And did you get did you get our email?
Yes, sir. Well, the email came to the junior cadets.
That's right. We sent it to all the junior cadets, but you're going to be a spokesman for them, right?
Yes, sir. And I wanted to also say on behalf of Bradley that we're very proud that you have invited us on your program this evening, and we're very grateful.
Well, we're very happy to have you with us. The question is the following, and also we invite people to call us here at 877-876-PHIL. Should these photographs that show the dead body of Osama bin Laden and the very, very serious injuries that body sustained, the serious injury that body sustained in death, should they be released to the public?
My initial feeling on that, Mr. Henry, is no, they should not. And the reason is not because the American people, I heard what you said about how that one man said that I paid $1 trillion, and the American people, I think, have suffered, as you said, a lot of... they've suffered a lot because of the 9/11 attack. As a military cadet, I look at what has happened in my country, and of course my goal is to attend West Point and to eventually be commissioned as an officer in the United States Army, and I hope that I have the honor to go into battle for my country. But that I see that, and I think the other cadets here see that as our job. We don't think the American people need to see the face of what is in my future and the future of the other cadets.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I guess what I mean is that the death photos of Osama bin Laden are going to be extremely graphic. They will show profound damage to no question. Since it was a headshot, it will show profound damage to the cranium. I believe the shot entered the skull at the level of the eyes, and my understanding is the eyes are of bin Laden have been shot out. There's no question there's going to be part of the skull missing. There'll be exposed brain matter, and all of these things. I've been trained in the military cadet situation, I've been trained to look at it, and I can look at that. And we have seen those pictures, but the American people have not. And the American people, and I'm saying in general, I mean that...
Well, certainly there are police officers, Right.
Well, yes, sir. There's a lot of police officers, and there's other people in emergency service would have seen it, but I don't. The vast majority of Americans would not be able to. I think it would be traumatic. I don't think they'd be able to handle it. When you talk about the amount of brain matter and blood and the nature of these photographs, they're very, very gruesome. And I understand, Mr. Henry, you said that you had watched the Nicholas Berg decapitation video, if that was my understanding.
Yes, I did, yeah.
I don't know why you would put yourself through that. You're a civilian. It's not something that you need to see. And
well, when you say put myself through it, I watched it because as a member of the media, when these things happen, I feel it's my responsibility to familiarize myself with it in case people are talking about it.
I'm sorry. I don't think, Mr. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, I got a message. I don't think that...
Are you all... Can you continue talking?
Yes, sir. It was a phone message that I can return later on.
Okay.
I don't think that it's wise to release these photos.
Now, I want to ask you, we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, and that's in Altadena, California. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You are saying the American people should not see these photographs. Why? Now, before you answer that, I'm not clear.
I think that they're very graphic.
No, I know you've been talking about the graphic nature of these photographs, but are you certainly are saying that it's their right to see them.
Well, I think when you talk about the right of people to see these photographs, it's kind of superfluous to the topic, because even if someone has the right to see something or the right to do something, it may be injurious or it may not be good for them. And if you look at the pictures of Bin Laden after he had been shot by the SEALs, it's going to be very graphic, and it will be traumatic for probably 99% of the American people. You're not going to be able to deal with it. You're not going to be able to handle it, and people will be, you know, traumatized and everything else. And so, you know...
Well, when you say they won't be able to deal with it or handle it, what does that mean? Because it's graphic?
Yes, sir. It's extremely graphic. It would be traumatic to Americans. The nightmares that people would have, that's all I'm saying. I don't think people understand. And
but why can't people make that decision for themselves?
Well, I don't think people can make that decision for themselves, because people are always talking like... I mean, people are always saying, yeah, you know, I want to see it, and, you know, and they wind up throwing up or they wind up getting scared by it. And so...
No. I mean, I don't know what it is you're talking about, you know. What I'm saying is, why can't people make this decision for themselves to see these pictures?
I think I just answered your question, Mr. Henry, because people always talk a big game about how they're capable of looking at, you know, a guy's, you know, head all blown apart, but they're not. And when they finally do see the picture, they wind up being, you know, traumatized by it. And so my feeling is that the American people are not ready to see these pictures. And
have you seem to understand what it is that we're talking about here, okay, because you very graphically outlined the possibility of what is in the picture. Have you ever seen photographs like that?
Have I ever seen photographs like that?
Yeah.
In my training, we've been told what happens with a headshot.
No, have you ever seen photographs? Have you ever encountered a body that has been damaged like that?
Well, to answer your question specifically, no, I haven't. But I'm a military cadet, and I'm trained to be ready to see what a head looks like when it's blown apart. And most people do not know how to deal with that. That's why I'm saying...
So you feel very confident that if you saw these pictures, you'd be fine.
Well, yes, sir. I mean, I'm in a military academy. I mean, if you're not, you're going to be very shocked at what the head looks like.
And what about me after I saw the Nicholas Berg video?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Henry. You're still a civilian, and I don't think it stays with you the way it would a military person. So I do believe that you would probably be scared of it. I'm not saying that you're a coward, but I think you would be scared of it.
Even though I saw that video and in my life I've encountered people who've been very badly injured you know, my cousins were nurses. You still think that that I would be frightened of the Bin Laden video or the Bin Laden pictures?
I think so, Mr. Henry. I don't know about your cousins being nurses. I mean, if you saw some guy, you know, I don't know, you know, had a, you know, got a burn on his arm or something. But
no, it was a lot worse. I tell you what, hold the line here. Our number 877-876-7445. Should the American people see these pictures of Osama bin Laden? R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, says no. He and the other cadets are trained to look at things like that. Members of the military are trained to look at things like that. Police officers are certainly trained to look at things like that, as are trauma surgeons and nurses. But the average American, 99.999% of us, would be traumatized and have nightmares and therefore should not see the Osama bin Laden death photos. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, in just a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, hold on, we'll talk about that. We're looking, by the way, this is actually, I'm looking at some infrared video from 2010, Navy SEAL infrared video. The SEALs did take photographs of the dead body of Osama bin Laden. I believe they took pictures of him at an army base in Afghanistan. There were also pictures taken of the body on board a ship in the Arabian Sea before it was given these rites, if you will, and then it was dumped into the sea. There were no pictures taken of bin Laden at the actual site of his killing. There were pictures and video taken, and certainly there was the... my understanding is that the White House Situation Room did have a visual, and that as the result of cameras that are mounted on the helmets of Delta Force, and in this case, the SEALs. So, R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy. How old are you?
I'm 17.
All right, so you are a 17-year-old junior cadet. You have said to me that you feel you can handle looking at these pictures of bin Laden, but the American people can't. Why do you feel you can, even though you've never been in combat yourself?
Well, Mr. Henry, that's not really fair to say when you say I've not been in combat.
Well, you haven't been in combat, have you?
I am a military cadet. No, I haven't been in combat, but I've had military training. And also, we are trained to be... of a particular mindset so that when we do see a head that's been, you know, unfortunately a head that's been blown apart or something, we're not going to get scared and throw up or do the things that a lot of civilians will do. So I'm trained for it, to expect what to know how it's going to happen. Civilians are not ready for it. That's why I say that President Obama should not do it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. I'm going to go to a phone call here. On the line, we have Ricky in Jackson, Mississippi. Ricky, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the statement that I think the statement that the cadet is making is totally incorrect. My background, I'm 13 years prior military service, United States Marine Corps. I was a shooter in the Marine Corps.
And, oh, yeah?
Yeah. A photograph.
Semper Fi.
Do or die, baby, do or die. But a photograph isn't the same thing as being there when you see the actual body. You know, there's things that happen when a body suffers a traumatic death, and they lose, you know, they lose control of all their bodily functions, and things happen, and the smell of blood, and that's what usually makes people sick. It's not the actual sight of it. And the photograph isn't going to affect somebody in the way that you're saying. You know, I understand what you're saying about your training, but it's just not going to happen like that. And you release the photograph. You release a photograph and you make it available for people to look at, and if they want to look at it, they can look at it. But it's just a photograph. You know, it's just like being
a
sniper. It's just mm-hmm. like shooting people at 450, 500 meters
out. Could I ask the gentleman a question? I just want to ask you a question. Did you ever see a head, you know, did you ever see the what was I going to say, the Taliban have their head blown off? Anybody like that?
I was in, I did drug raids in Colombia. I was in Somalia. I was in Desert Storm. And I did liberation of Grenada. So yeah, I've seen my share of combat.
You've been in combat. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much, Ricky. So there's a very good answer there. It's not just the sight, it's the smell. We'll be back here with Arson Collins. Should these pictures be made available? 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
The movie is 127 hours.
127 hours is the movie. Welcome back to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're talking with R.C. Collins, who is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, about the release of the Osama bin Laden death photos. Osama bin Laden, who was shot through the head and the chest by a Navy SEAL. It is said that these death photos can be gruesome, and depending upon what they mean by that, R.C. is here saying that they should not be released to the general public because of the fragility, if you will, of the American people. And I don't think you've made your case.
Well, again, Mr. Henry, when you and I were talking during a break, there was the movie that you were talking about was 127 hours. And in that movie, the man who fell down into a ditch or something, I forget what it was.
It was like a canyon. He was a mountain climber.
Yeah, he fell into a canyon, and his arm got caught in the rock, and then in the movie they show the guy has to cut his own arm off. And people were talking about that for days and days and days and days. And a lot of people were thrown up when they went to the movie. There were reports of people, there was reports of barfing or people throwing up everywhere, and there was reports of throwing up everywhere, and it was pretty traumatic. And so if you take that and you put that together with the bin Laden, where they're saying that bin Laden's head is partially blown away, people are going to be very angry, and it could cost the president the next election. It's not going to cost
the next election. How's that going to happen?
Well, I don't think it'll cost the election, but people are going to say, you know, I didn't know it was that bad and everything, and they could blame Obama for it, or they'll just say that it was, you know, that the military's being cruel and they want to sue about it.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Can the American people handle seeing the Osama bin Laden death photos? This young man, R.C. Collins, a military cadet, says, no, we can't. Look at our response to 127 hours. Here is Paula on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Paula.
I think that he's absolutely underestimating the American public, and I think we've been exposed to blood and guts and gore 1,000 different ways through TV and movies and even our personal lives. I was telling the screen for my aunt and uncle. My aunt and uncle were beaten to death by a 16-year-old with a ball bat earlier this year. He beat their heads right off of their body. You know what? We've seen
that. That was on TV.
Who would like to absolutely see some sort of visual proof, even though we might not actually even recognize him. There's a bunch of Americans who would like the opportunity to see some proof that he is dead. He brought our country to our knees. I think we need to let the American public decide
whether
they want to
see the picture.
It's not
the same thing to see violence on TV.
All right, hold on for a minute. I didn't hear what you said there at the end because you were butting in, R.C.
Well, she's talking about blood and guts on TV. That's not the same thing. That's fake.
Okay. You know what? I did use a kind of
until you see the real deal. You know, the real deal is what I'm talking about.
Okay, I am 46. I think you're 17. I've seen a whole lot more of the real deal than you have. I have held people's hands as they died. I've had family members who were beaten to death with a ball bat this year. All I'm saying is it's not for you to decide what I want to see.
That's very suspicious that you say that you've had family members beaten to death with a ball bat this year, and now you also want to see bin Laden. Wouldn't you not want to see it? And be
afraid
of it?
What I'm saying is that I think it's up to me to decide whether I want to look at that.
What I mean, yeah, that, I think that Paul, there are Americans that can handle it, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah. Nobody else needs to make that decision for me. As a military cadet, ma'am, all I'm trying to say is I've been trained to expect what a head's going to look like.
You're 17. You know nothing about the real world. You're 17. All the training you've had would fit in a freaking thimble. I appreciate your willingness to serve and your willingness to protect my quality of life, but you have no real life experience yet. All I'm saying is wait till your voice deepens before you try to have this fight.
Ma'am, I'm just saying to you that you can't say you've got real world experience when you've seen it on TV. That's all.
All right. Thank you very much, Paula. 877-876-7445. She said that a member of her family was beaten to death with a ball bat.
Well, I think that a lot of people will make these claims, Mr. Henry, in order to sound like they're all, you know, it's very interesting when you get a lot of the people with the bravado and saying, yeah, you know, and then you find out that as soon as you show them the picture, they throw up and are crying and everything. And
the lady, I think I can take her at her word. If she said she had a member of her family beaten to death with a ball bat, good God, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And
I don't know. I there was something about the way she said it.
All right. You know, you have to have a little bit of respect. I don't know what you heard, but I think you have to have at least the respect of taking people at their word. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to another caller here. Rocky, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins here as we talk about the death photos of Osama bin Laden. Should they be released to the public? Go ahead, Rocky.
Absolutely, they should be released. I think the American public deserves it. I believe after what he had done bringing our country to its knees, that is something that we...
All right. And you feel you can handle seeing that, Rocky? You feel you can handle seeing that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to go to my background. I do have a military background. I was 20 years, and 20 years special operations.
Did you ever see a guy with a head shot off stuff?
I have seen a lot in my life, but I also know that a lot of people that are civilians, a lot of people in general, want to see this. And we're not a weak nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I go back to the comment that I heard today from the guy who said, you know, I paid $1 trillion to see those pictures. I mean, what this country's been through over the last, you know, 10 years.
Well, Mr. Henry, one guy didn't pay $1 trillion.
The point is, the American people have given up a lot as the result of what this scumbag did. Our economy changed. The way we live has changed. The things that we've had to invest in.
Absolutely. He has changed the way we act. I mean, the way we go through airports, the way we conduct our lives, the way we think about how we are as Americans out for the last 9.5 years. I mean, we live in fear to a degree because of this man. And
I think a lot of civilians would be scared of it, though.
Yes, hold on, will you?
Young man, let me talk, please.
Yes, sir.
What I want to say is I do have a background in special operations. I had friends who died in Mogadishu. You may not be young enough to remember that there, young man, but when Guantanamo went down in Mogadishu, they drugged the bodies through the streets. They drugged the bodies through the street with great fanfare. They desecrated the bodies. Three of those bodies were my friends. Those bodies were never recovered.
I saw the movie about it, and we did see the movie about it, and it was pretty
That was the movie, son. You weren't there. You don't know what it was about. But they just desecrated the bodies. They had no respect for them at all, is what I'm saying. And
I think I could deal with it.
This isn't a quid pro quo. This isn't a quid pro quo. What I'm saying is that the American public does have...
Hold on, kid, and let the guy talk. Yes, sir.
I'm saying the American public has the right to see this.
Well, I agree with you. And, R.C., now, you've been butting in and butting in.
I apologize.
What is your point?
My only point is, and I respect the officer here, or the sergeant, I don't know his rank.
Yes, R.C., I was an officer.
Okay, sir, I
and I must say, if you're going to have a career in the military, and I respect what you're doing in the military academy right now, if you want to go off to West Point, you have a few things to learn there, young man. One of them is to learn your place, learn to hold your tongue, and learn to speak when you're spoken to.
Well, I apologize, sir.
I am a former commissioned officer in the United States military.
All right, so, R.C., what did you want to say?
Well, just that I think that the civilians are there, don't know what they're asking for. They're going to see the guy's head blown apart, and there'll be a lot of people angry about it. That's all.
All right. Do you suppose
if they don't want to watch
it, they don't want to see it
on TV, they don't have to see it. If they don't want to open the newspaper and look at it, or Time or Newsweek magazine, they don't have to look at it.
Yes, sir, but don't you think they'll sue? And then we got a whole bunch of civilians crying about how they, the military hurt them and everything.
Oh, come on, man. What are you suing for?
I don't think
what,
so.
Man?
I don't think so. I think
Thank you very much.
I think right now the public in general is applauding the military for what they did.
Well,
the professionalism of the SEALs that went in there.
Rocky, thank you. I got to get to another call. I appreciate it, though, very much, sir. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Well, Mr. Henry, you just got done telling me that I had to have respect for a guy, and you hang up on an officer?
On an officer?
On an officer, you hang up on the guy, and you had no respect at all.
Yes, I did. I got to get going to another call, is what I'm trying to say. 877-876-7445. Phil Henry's show here is Dan in Louisville. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm going to give you a really, really short version. I was in the Army five and a half years, 11 Bravo Infantry. I've seen my share of combat. I've seen my share of a little bit of everything, and I'd really rather not get into details. But I've seen bodies blown apart.
Were you special operations?
Oh, at ease, Cadet. I'm not done. You've had your turn now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I got to almost question what they're teaching you all there, because for you to keep talking about trolling up, like the lady said earlier, you're 17 years old. You haven't experienced anything yet. Okay, whenever I went through the 5.5 years of military, I seen a lot. I got out. I didn't have nightmares. It doesn't bother me. It's part of life. You live it, you deal with it, you go on. Then I started driving a semi-truck. 28 years I've been driving. I see wrecks on a weekly basis, bodies tore apart. I don't get sick. I've seen people step out in front of semis and literally their bodies annihilated. That doesn't bother me. I mean, I hate to see it, but it's part of life. You just go on. And do we deserve? I have earned my right to see the pictures of this guy, because all the stuff that I have hauled, I have to get escorted sometime because of terrorists. I have to be escorted in and out of places whenever I haul explosives because of these terrorists. And now this guy is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would love to see the picture of this guy.
Right.
I've earned that right.
Where did you see a guy get run over by a semi and obliterated? Was that in Afghanistan?
I'm sorry, dude. What?
Where did you see some guy get hit by a semi and obliterated? Was that Afghanistan or was that here?
No, that was out here on the highway. That was everyday life.
So you've seen guys get blown apart in the war, and then you also see a guy...
Cadet, listen to me. You're watching things on movies. You're sitting in classrooms, and they're showing you these things. Whenever, like the lady told you earlier, you haven't even experienced life yet. You know, three days ago, I saw a gentleman on a motorcycle get hit by a semi, and they picked him up by pieces and put him in a bag. But does that make
me
sick or vomit? No, it does not. It's part of life. You know, you deal with it and you go on.
If you've ever been tempted to video that, you could send that to our military academy. There's a lot of those things that...
Oh, come on! What's he going to do, get out of his truck with a video camera?
Well, the guy's seeing all this stuff every other day. God.
I you know what? Phil, my hat off to you, brother.
Yeah.
I love your show.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. All right, I appreciate it very much.
I want to see the picture.
Yeah, I agree with you, sir. 877-876-7445. We're going to take a break. And I do need for you to understand something. I mean, I know that you got a lot to say, RC, but these are guys that have been there, done that. Okay, and while you saw Black Hawk Down, and you know you're prepared to know what the face looks like when it's been shot, these people have seen it. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I told you that there's a lot of military guys, but what about a regular civilian? They're not ready to do anything like that at all, and they're going to sit there and they're going to be thinking they can handle it, and then they're going to see his head, and it won't even look like a head. And then what'll they do? And that other guy, seeing that he was in the military, Then he came back here to drive a truck, and he's seen more guys get blown apart in America than he ever seen over there. And that part's pretty hard to believe.
He was a truck driver. He said he saw a guy get run over by a truck. He saw a guy on a motorcycle. You know, if you're earning your living out on the highways and the byways of this country, you're going to see some automobile accidents. You're going to see some gruesome stuff. You spend enough time out there. You know, the first dead body I ever saw in my life, where was it? On a freeway on-ramp. On a freeway on-ramp, I was minding my own business one day, and I see a body, and I pull over just in time to get out of my car, walk down the ramp, and three or four people are now standing over this poor kid. He was couldn't have been more than 15, laying there with blood. And I go to the car to get my, I didn't have a cell phone in those days, so I went to the car to get my keys because I was going to go back down the on-ramp. I was going to back my car down the on-ramp and call for an ambulance. And by the time I got back to this poor young man, they'd already thrown a jacket over his head, and he was gone. He was dead. And I was just driving to see my girlfriend or something. I don't know. I was going to the store to get a six-pack of beer. So the highways of the world, you'll see things. Just all you got to do is step out your front door some days. And that is the world we live in. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number again, 877-876... What?
Hold on for a minute, sir. You feel better? Yeah.
Woody, get out of here and don't be a smartass. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. Next hour, Don Mixa is going to be joining us to talk about a couple of issues raised today in the killing of Osama bin Laden, having to do with the legalities. And we'll talk with Don Mixa, who's a professor at the University of Washington, about that coming up in our next hour. Our number is 877-876-7445. Our website, philhendryshow.com. And you can look at live streaming video of our show right now in high-definition video. That's Phil TV in HD. And watch how we perform our show. Visit our merchandise store and pick up your Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, shot glass, our coffee mug, or any one of our best-of CDs. R.C., we're talking here about these photographs that you, as a 17-year-old cadet, and I'm not putting that down.
Mr. Henry, that's a little disingenuous. I mean, all hour long I've been hearing people talking about, you know, you're just a kid, and you and the other cadets are not, you know, you guys aren't even knowing what you're talking about. But I want to have a career in the military, and so to see these photographs is something that my whole life has probably been better prepared to do than, you know, and I say this with all due respect, some housewife is probably not as prepared as I am, and so to that extent, you know, is what I'm saying.
Some housewife is not as prepared as you, huh? You don't know what she's been through in her life. You don't know what she's seen. You don't know any of these things.
It's very possible, Mr. Henry, but to hear a lot of people calling your program tonight and saying, yeah, you know, I did this, I saw that, I seen this, I seen that. Well, it's impossible for me to believe everybody's seen what they say they've seen, you know.
Well, you know, and like I said, a part of the respect that we give other people is we give them the benefit of the doubt, and we don't immediately call them liars. Our number is 877-876-744, whatever our number is. Here is Jason on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, 7445, right?
Part of the thing that we're seeing here, I think that this young man is a prime example of the evolution of society today with the political correctness, and everything has to be sugarcoated and everything has to be dumbed down because people can't handle the truth. I currently serve in the Army, and I have deployed overseas, and I won't go on into everybody else like they've been saying of all the things that they've seen, but you do get to see some things. With the way that the country is today and the way the world is today, nobody is innocent anymore. With technology, with the internet, people have seen, I guarantee you, far worse than a picture of a dead terrorist. I mean, the whole country is desensitized to violence, that they don't even pay attention to it when it comes on the news. They don't even listen to it anymore. So nobody is going to be as grossly affected by a picture of a dead terrorist as you think they are.
But sir, you and I both know civilians. We've been around them.
You know what? These people every soldier that has ever served in the military was a civilian at one time. Now, I am currently stationed at Fort Knox. I train incoming privates, and I can tell you that the stock of individuals that we get sometimes coming into basic training, they join the military because they think that it's like Call of Duty or something like that, and it has nothing to do with that. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, what are you laughing about, Mr. Henry?
Recruits that we get.
I'm laughing at what he's saying because I can well imagine what it must be like seeing these clowns.
Well, you're making fun of me.
No, it has nothing to do, but it's symptomatic of what you are saying.
Yeah.
People are not talking down to you because you're 17, but you're trying to speak as though you're an authority on something.
Yeah. We got to take a break.
Henry.
What happened to the guy? That's a sergeant you hung up on.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
$1,000 of their own
Facebook
money.
Facebook in particular is the most appalling spying
machine. First of all, I think resistance does not require a firearm. But
he's stupid.
Good adjustments.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. New details emerge in the mission to get Bin Laden. It turns out he wasn't armed when he was killed by Navy SEALs. Joining us next is going to be Don Mixa, a professor at the University of Washington, to discuss new details and some of the criticisms. And don't forget, on our website, philhenryshow.com, is the live streaming video of our show right now in HD, high definition. Hi, I'm Phil. Behind me is the beautiful El Pacifico, as it is reflective. If you want to see that, bud, can we show the people?
Yeah, get it on a DDR and show it.
And we'll just fade out. Look at that. That's one of the last winter storms of the season. And I realize we're a little late in the season for a winter storm, as you can see. And that's some kids laying on that.
What is that?
It's like some kind of a utility house or something that one of the kids are out there having fun. But you can see, look at that storm, man. It's just brutal. And we are here at the El Pacifico. This is the site of our broadcast studio every single night, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, like right here to the El Pacifico. Coming up again, Don Mixa on our show. And again, our website, philhenryshow.com. Pick up our Best Of CDs, get our T-shirts, and, of course, our hats and our coffee mugs and our shot glasses. It's all beautiful. Now, the White House today corrected Bin Laden's narrative. The narrative, this is a word that we're going to be hearing a lot of, the narrative, meaning the story as to how it's being told on the killing of Osama bin Laden. He was not armed. His wife was alive, and is alive, I should say, and wasn't used as a shield. White House officials on Tuesday sought to correct the official account of the raid in Pakistan that ended in the killing of Osama bin Laden, saying the al-Qaeda leader was not armed and that his wife was not killed. You know, it's really unfortunate that when these SEAL combatants returned to wherever it was they returned to be debriefed, that as soon as they say something, and then it goes to whoever it was that they said it to, and there may be one or two or three people in the room, and somehow that makes its way to somebody else, and the next thing you know, it's on Twitter, and it's wrong. It's really unfortunate. You know, I would rather that the media keep its mouth shut until you know what is going on instead of leaking all this stuff. And you people in the military, with all due respect, because it's coming from the military, there's no way in hell that a Navy SEAL comes off an operation like that, says X, Y, and Z, and then the next thing you know, it's on Twitter within about 2 hours if somebody in the military didn't leak it. What the hell is your problem? I'd rather have the right information than the wrong information. So now we have to correct this thing, and his wife wasn't a shield, and she's alive, she's not dead, and Bin Laden was armed, and no he wasn't, and he's 6'4", no he's 5'2", eyes are blue. Has anybody seen my gal? All right, 877-876, what?
What's that mean?
Just, it's an old song. 877-876-7445, on the line with us from the University of Washington in Seattle is Don Mixa. Don, Alan Dershowitz said today, and again, he was not criticizing, he was just simply stating a fact that we shot an unarmed man and we invaded a foreign country without its approval or its sanctioning this. And, you know, I heard what Dershowitz said. He was bringing this up in light of what he called a kind of hypocrisy that we have to live with. Now, this is the same guy that, if I'm not mistaken, was bad-mouthing the Bush administration for some of the things that it was doing and was second-guessing things that the Bush administration was doing and second-guessing the idea of, enhanced interrogation, so on and so forth. Now, all of a sudden, we got President Obama in the White House, and it's all good, baby. It's all something that we have to do. It's all, you know, it's part of the game. It's a rough ball game, and everybody's got to do it, and it's unfortunate, but, hey, you know, stuff happens.
Look, Phil, when you say that stuff happens, I can't answer for the Bush administration. I'm not going to sit here and try and correct the 8 years of 8 years of missteps of George Bush. I'm simply going to say to you that with Barack Obama, we had an opportunity to do something new. We had an opportunity to get off on the right leg, and we didn't do it, not on this mission, in my opinion.
What do you find wrong with this mission?
Well, just what you said. I mean, you have an unarmed man standing in an upstairs bedroom. I don't know exactly where he was at the time. He had a woman with him that at some point, we're told, attempted to shield him or otherwise attempted to somehow keep him from harm. The individual involved, the Navy SEAL that was there, there might have been more than one, made the call to shoot her. And now you've got Osama bin Laden, who wasn't armed at all, and the SEAL then went on to shoot dead a man that was standing there with no weapon. I don't know, had he just been making love to his wife? We don't know.
What does that mean, had he just been making love to his wife?
Well, we don't have any idea, Phil, as to what was transpiring in that bedroom when that SEAL went up there. We know it was the middle of the night. This man was probably asleep, and he somehow is encountered here by a United States military service member, and that service member has a weapon on him. His wife is shot, and now he's shot. And that U.S. Navy service member was brought into that country, Pakistan, by United States military vehicles that did not have official approval or permission to be in that country. Now, any way you slice that, that is a violation of international treaty.
Oh, come on, will ya?
No, you asked me to tell you.
No, well, just for a second. A violation of international treaty and therefore what? A war crime? What do we want to call this?
Well, you want me to be consistent, I'm going to be consistent with you. And I am saying that, and I criticize George Bush for the same things, that this is a violation of international, of the Geneva Convention, and therefore, technically, the United States is going to have to answer for this in front of the Security Council of the United Nations. And
You know what? I would gladly stand there at the United Nations, at The Hague, or wherever it is the U.S. you would have us stand, and stand there and wait for the judgment of the international community that we went into a country that, for all we know, was acting in concert with this man. Therefore, the actual regime or government of that country was somehow criminally involved because they were shielding an international fugitive. This man is wanted not just by the FBI. He's wanted by authorities in Spain. He's wanted by authorities in the United Kingdom. He's wanted by Interpol. He's wanted by his own government, the Saudi government. He's wanted by other countries as well, Indonesia, Australia. I mean, this cat is public enemy number one all over the world. And here he is in a compound, most likely being shielded by the Pakistan government, The United States military goes into Pakistan and conducts this operation. Now, we had permission to use those drones, and the judgment call was made that we would send our Navy SEALs in there. Why is that? Because it was our information and it was our experience that we could no longer trust the Pakistani government, that they may be in some sort of criminal collusion with this guy, and that a fugitive wanted in all the countries I just mentioned might get away.
Well, I think that that is a very, very interesting scenario that you've just put together there, Phil. Unfortunately, I don't know whether or not that actually comports with the facts. I mean, the facts are...
Does it comport with the facts? What? The guy is wanted in all these countries?
It could very well be that he's wanted in those countries. I don't know. But the point is, the facts are these, that this is an unarmed man standing there, having just been roused from bed. He's laying in bed with his wife, which is what any man would be doing who's married in the middle of the night in his own home in a compound that he felt was secure. And
It's not going to be secure if you're a wanted criminal.
I understand that, Phil, that if he's a wanted criminal, the Pakistani authorities certainly have the right to arrest him, and they can then discuss with the United States any kind of extradition that the U.S. is demanding. But up until that point, the only people that do have the authority to arrest him would be the Pakistani authorities, and they were not given that opportunity. What instead happened was a member of the United States military, a country that is half a world away, has somehow deployed its military and its military vehicles and apparatus to the border regions of Pakistan. And now we've sent our military people in. We've gotten a man out of bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, standing there with no clothes on. He sees his wife get shot, and he's asking himself, what is going on? And then without even so much as being able to pick up a weapon or defend himself or even being given the opportunity to run, which is only the decent thing to do in a situation like that.
What are you talking about, to run?
That the U.S. military would give him the opportunity to at least try and escape. And
what are you talking about?
Excuse me, Phil, but if I could finish what I'm saying and not be confronted each and every syllable by your incredulity, I'd like to do that.
Go ahead, but I don't know what you're talking about, that the U.S. military should give him an opportunity to escape.
I'm saying that given the fact that he did not have a weapon, given the fact that they had just shot his wife, given the fact that they probably legally had no right to be there, the SEALs could have at least given this man a head start and said to him, all right, get out the front door and we'll give you 10 seconds. But they didn't even do that. And to my way of thinking, we invaded this country, put a gun on a man with no weapon, we showed no fairness, we showed no etiquette, and this is why the world has looked down its nose on us.
No. You got it wrong.
Well, somehow I know I'm on your show I'm going to be wrong, Phil.
No, it's not because you're on my show. The world looking down its nose on us because we don't have etiquette? Since when do we give guys a running start to get away?
Since we come into their homes and we put a weapon on them, in the middle of the night we shoot their wife, and they have no chance at all. And we stand there and we say to them, have you got a gun? No, I don't. Good. Bang, bang, pop, 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 pop. And down he goes.
Well, actually, I think it was two pops. He was shot in the head and the chest, and that's enough. But the idea that this man had no weapon and therefore would be afforded some sort of a courtesy to escape is beyond my wildest imaginings. And I think when you look at Osama bin Laden and the mass murder this guy committed, and you want to hold us to some kind of a strict international law standard, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think international law covers this guy.
And why don't you think that?
For the very reasons that I gave on torture. He's not a member of a uniformed military service of any country. He doesn't march under any flag. He's not. He's part of a gang, a criminal enterprise, and therefore is not afforded the protection of the Geneva Convention.
You are absolutely wrong, Phil.
And no, I don't think I am.
No, you are absolutely wrong, and it's kind of an argument that you use and other people use to protect the United States from many of its criminal acts, and I think somebody has to answer for this.
All right, hold the line here. Don Mixa on here with some fantasy tale about how since bin Laden had no weapon, he was an unarmed man, he was shot, and that is an illegal act by the SEALs, and also that the SEALs went into a country that they had not been invited into. The U.S. government had military operations in Pakistan, and they were not sanctioned by the Pakistanis. All of this a violation of international law. Bull crap. Our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Don Mixa and your phone calls next. Osama bin Laden, because he wasn't armed and may have been asleep with his wife, it was against the law to shoot this guy without a weapon. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me from the University of Washington is Don Mixa, who you heard the interview with Alan Dershowitz today. And I personally, I don't have much, I don't like this guy Dershowitz. I think he's just, you know, he's one of these guys that wants the strict letter of the law when it comes to a Bush. But all of a sudden now we're applying it to Barack Obama. And he's just, well, you know, I guess we have to be hypocrites. I don't like people like that. But what you're doing is you're running with this stuff about the illegal killing.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You don't like Alan Dershowitz doing it with Bush. Are you saying you don't like him doing it with Obama either?
No, I'm saying that when he talks about Obama, you know, I'll give you this much. You think Obama is violating international law. Alan Dershowitz all of a sudden thinks that, oh, well, you know, stuff happens. With Bush, he wanted the guy put in a prison. With Obama, now everything's good. That's the kind of hypocrisy and ignorant behavior that drives me out of my mind. But I'll give you this much, Don. You think Obama has violated international law.
I don't think it. I know it.
You know it.
That's exactly right. I know it. And look, Phil, I didn't make this world. If the American people chose two consecutive presidents who have decided to violate international law because they think they're bigger than it, they think America is much, much bigger than the international community, so be it. That's the choice of the American people. But our reputation is sullied. The Bush crimes have been
the Bush crimes, huh?
Yeah, the Bush crimes have been further magnified by Obama. An innocent man, not an innocent man, we don't know. I mean, he was being apprehended by the United States Navy SEALs. He gets out of bed to see what's going on. His wife now is shot. He stands there without any pants on, I have no idea, and he's gunned down. Why? Because he was trying to get a night's sleep?
Because the guy is a wanted murderer. Because the guy is a dangerous felon, if you want to look at it this way, and any police officer will tell you, when you're dealing with an armed and dangerous individual, when you're dealing with a person who is considered to be violently dangerous, the last thing you want to do is try to apprehend that individual at the risk of your own life. And that SEAL made that call. 877-876-7445. This is Kai. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Kai.
Yeah, I'd like to ask this guy, is he American? Does he understand what this guy had? This guy killed innocent people, 3,000 Americans innocently, and hit our Pentagon.
I understand that.
Do you understand?
I understand it.
Do you understand
I'm
what
American.
Bin Laden is? Do you understand what kind
yes.
of, what you're
I
trying to
do.
Defend here?
I certainly do, but I also understand that as Americans we have to adhere to the strict
what?
Letter of etiquette that we
are you out of your mind? You need psychiatric
Wait.
Help here?
Why would you say I need psychiatric help, sir? I'm simply saying...
Because, sir, you are making...
He got out of bed.
You're defending a vicious killer.
I'm not defending him, sir. I
am very proud right now for what we did. For our president, for our complete armed services, and everybody in our country. You should also. You better take a good look inside yourself, buddy, for the rest of your life, if you really, unless you're playing some kind
of
joker game, and analyze yourself, because you definitely need psychiatric help. And thank you. Thank you very much, Phil.
And
have a good night.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait, I demand that you not hang up. I demand you do not. Is he hanging up?
Yeah, he's hanging up. He's hanging up because he probably doesn't want to get so pissed off that he says something he didn't want to say. What is it that you wanted to say?
I wanted to say it to him. And what I wanted to say was, that this guy, Bin Laden, was in bed, and the next thing you know, he's forced out of bed, And it's like, good morning, let me shoot your wife. Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to shoot you. That's what happened to him. And I think he deserved, and I think we deserved, and that's really what I'm talking about, Phil, we deserve to be far better people than that. And we deserve to see far better action than that than our United States Navy SEAL.
You know something? You know, people, I got to tell you something, Don. I hear all of these people, and I heard them all the way through the Bush years, that there's this certain kind of a perfect standard that we must meet. Otherwise, everything that we do is just wrong. And I
do resent you giving me that kind of a queer sound to my voice.
No, I'm just saying that there is an idea that in America there has to be a certain, you know, our morals this and our morals that. You know, we're living in a dirty, rotten, foul, stinking world, okay? Sometimes you have to fight your way through the alley to make your way home. Sometimes you got to pick up a board with a nail in it and drive it right into a guy's head if you think you're going to see your family ever again. Now, that may not be the Marcus of Queensbury rules, but, you know, it certainly isn't America. You're right about that, Don. But we're not talking about America now. We're talking about parts of the world that are in the Dark Ages. We're talking about the back alleys and the sewers of the world. And that's where we also have to do business. And you're telling me that I got to whip out the Marcus of Queensbury rules in the middle of Pakistan, in the middle of a place where a government most likely is protecting this guy? No way. All right, 877-876-7445. We're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Actually, I couldn't see the clock. I guess we got about 30 seconds here. 877-876-7445. We're talking to Don Mixa here from the University of Washington, and we're talking about Osama bin Laden, how he was apprehended by the SEALs, how he was killed by the SEALs. Don is saying that it was an unarmed man being gunned down by a military force illegally in that country as the result of not being invited by the Pakistanis. We just flew right in there. This is today's stupid conversation, folks. We'll be right back in the world famous
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Back here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington. You said something to me during the break that I thought was pretty interesting, Don, and that was that you're sort of sorry that you have to be talking to me about Obama.
It's not that, you know, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that President Obama has decided to go down this road that was a well-trod road by George Bush. I felt that George Bush had been I felt that we'd gotten rid of the Bush mentality and gotten rid of the Bush playbook, but apparently we hadn't. With President Obama, if he was going to go after Osama bin Laden, okay, I think any American would applaud that, but he took a page out of the George Bush playbook, and that is very disappointing. It's painful for me to have to point this out. It's painful.
Painful for you to what? To say that Obama is guilty of some sort of a international transgression?
Well, this again, Mr. Hendry, when you, you know, I think it's very, very interesting to hear you. Obama, had the Navy SEALs go. Were we invited into Pakistan?
I don't know.
Well, you know full well that we weren't, because the response today from the Pakistani government has been very negative. All right, number two, was Obama armed, or excuse me, was Osama bin Laden armed, or was he not?
You just called him Obama.
Okay, you know, score one for you, all right? Score one for you.
Well, no, it's just the kind of thing that guys like you like to point out, so I thought I'd point it back.
Guys like me? What does that mean, guys like me?
Guys like you that take every small, infinitesimal, little, tiny mistake and turn it into a war crime, all right?
Well, I don't think it was an infinitesimal mistake to send Navy SEALs into a country where you had not been invited to perform a military operation like this. And I don't think it was a mistake to say to you or to your audience that this Navy SEAL that fired on Osama bin Laden did so on an unarmed man. Who could have been taken into custody. So I'm pointing this out, and I think that you and other conservatives might give me a few points in being consistent in the way that I want to apply this. Most liberals are not going to do that. Most liberals, and you're right, are going to hide under a bed. They don't want to talk about this kind of stuff. But I do.
Although you wish that you were talking more about Bush and not about Obama. That's what you said. You really hate to do this.
I do. I didn't think that Obama was capable of it.
Capable of the kinds of criminal activity. You know what? You know. And by the way, I saw the picture of you on the cover of the Daily. Is that it?
That is the University of Washington newspaper, yeah.
Is that you with the fist in the air?
That was a political action that I was engaged in this afternoon with my students on the university campus, and it made the front page of the Daily. We're very proud of that.
That's you with about 200 students trailing after you with your fist in the air. What is that supposed to be?
What is that supposed to be?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It was a political action in protest of the illegal killing of bin Laden without the appropriate, without a
What were they supposed to take him into custody? Were they supposed to handcuff him? Yesterday we had a guy on a show that said that he shouldn't.
Mr. Henry, don't start to have a hissy fit here. Okay,
I'm not having a hissy fit. I just wonder what it is guys like you think should have happened as opposed to what did happen. What fantasy world are you living in, and what fantasies do you think should have taken place instead of the reality? Here is Peter in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Peter. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everybody. Several points I'd like to make, and I'll make them quick. First of all, sir, I think the Navy SEALs did the right thing doing what they did, and I think President Obama should be congratulated for his decision. If you're going to do a highly precision military operation, you don't tell the whole world what you're going to do. Because if you do that, that could compromise the lives of the Navy SEALs that are in there to do a certain job. And number two, as far as this thing about bin Laden being unarmed, big deal. So they shot an unarmed bin Laden. How many people unarmed did he kill on 9/11?
Right.
He killed a ton of people. He deserved no consideration whatsoever. It's like if we went into Hitler's bunker and we saw an unarmed Hitler, should we give any? Oh, poor Hitler. He's unarmed. No, you shoot the guy because of what he did. 6 million Jews at least died under his thing. The same thing applies.
Hitler was a man, not a woman.
As far as your beliefs, sir, I think you belong in the Sunshine Home of the Mentally Bewildered.
Oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that wonderful? Did you write
that
down?
No, it's factual.
I think you should. It actually exists, does it? I think what we should do is write that down and send it into that, Comedy Central?
I can get some money for being a comedy writer and a truthful one.
Yeah, you could, because that's what you've been saying to me, comedy. You haven't said anything serious. You're like,
it is serious, sir.
Yeah,
I think
it's
you're
total
like a rocker. I think you belong
out
with the 9/11
conspiracy. I'm off my rocker. I'm out of my nut, but I'm not out of my rocker.
Well, I think
okay, whatever. Whatever.
Well, the point that this gentleman made, first of all, when you fire on an unarmed man, violation of international law. Number two, when you invade a country with a military operation and you haven't gotten permission, violation of military law. Number two, now, you can talk all you want about these George Bush tactics. I feel bad having to point this out because I like Barack Obama. I don't want to see him in a jail cell or in a prison sentence any more than anybody else. But this is where Barack Obama's headed, to a jail cell.
I think you're out of your mind. I think we should be committed
for
what he did. In fact, both leaders of both parties agreed that he did the proper thing.
Yeah, he's not going to wind up in a jail cell.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right, Phil, because it would be the most horrific of ironies that our first black president, even a black president, winds up in a jail cell.
You really have sympathy for Osama bin Laden for being shot unarmed after what he did on 9/11?
No, I do not. I have sympathy for the SEALs and for our president that they blew it so bad.
They didn't blow it at all.
They didn't blow anything. They didn't blow. Yeah, they didn't blow anything.
Back to the United States, they'll be given a ticker tape parade in New York.
Well, they're not going to identify who they are, so there's got to be a ticker tape parade. These guys are special ops, so they are.
I think eventually, once one of them retires and writes a book or whatever.
They're spooks. They think they're called spooks or goons or something like that.
But, sir, your attitude towards this thing really is one of the most horrifying things I've ever heard on radio in my life.
What I'm saying is I walked across the campus of the University of Washington today with my fist in the air and 200 students behind me. I was on the front page of the Daily because I was worried that Osama bin Laden had engaged in a criminal act.
Oh, will you get out of here with this bull crap? You haven't cited one thing. I told you about international law. I cited international law. In other words, for a terrorist to have the protection of a POW Under international law, terrorists must be marching under a flag of a nation. They must be in a uniform. In other words, they can't be a terrorist. They have to be a POW. Terrorists have no protection under the Geneva conventions. And guys like you that keep trying to give them that, and I was saying this when Bush was president, waterboard their ass. They don't get the protection of the Geneva Conventions. Thank you so very much, Peter, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. 877-ETIQUETTE. 877-876-7445. Here's Tim in Queens, New York. Go ahead, Tim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa.
Well, Mr. Phil, I appreciate how you're defending what we did to this terrorist.
Yes, sir.
I live in the city during the time of 9/11. I was taking my wife to work that morning, and as we were driving down the Belt Parkway, the buildings came down. She screamed, cars in the road pulled over to the side. I had to take her back home. She stayed under the covers for 2 days.
This man
killed 3,000 people. My wife worked four blocks away from World Trade.
Oh.
So I am not defending this guy. He got what he deserved. I appreciate you defending our stance. When it came to Mr. Bush, when those towers came down, I was again there, and that man got up and got on that bullhorn and said, we're going to get him. I applauded what he did. His administration should be defended. And for a president to have to face the worst terrorist attack in this country in history, how can they talk negative about this man? He did what he had to do. I applaud he and Mr. Cheney. And left and right should be happy that he took the stand
and President Obama as well. And President Obama as well. I mean, these are two American presidents who fulfilled their pledge to protect the American people. And Don, this is the typical kind of, I think, intellectualizing and legal nitpicking that only causes frayed nerves and frayed feelings.
Well, Phil, you made the statement that the Geneva Convention is not protect Osama bin Laden. I don't know. I do know one thing, and I would ask the gentleman, Tim, the same thing. A man standing naked in the middle of the night after his wife's been shot in the leg, I mean, doesn't he expect, don't you want to throw him a towel or a pair of pants? No, what did we do? We shot him. I got to tell you, I'd at least throw the guy a pair of pants.
Are you kidding me or something? First of all, I told you, and police know this the world over, dangerous felons, especially escaped felons, especially fugitives who are known to be dangerous, those guys aren't given they're not given the consideration of a come out with your hands up and all this. Yeah, they are, but if the situation does not warrant it, they are dropped. They are shot on sight. On sight. This guy was a fugitive. He was wanted in several countries for mass murder. He's on the FBI list. He's on British list. He's on the Russian list. He's on the Spanish want him. The Indonesians want him. The Australians want him. This guy was wanted by countries all over the world. You don't give this guy half a second to even think about what he's going to do. You kill him. And even then, the fact that we're even having this discussion is funny, because that means that that SEAL took enough time to at least ascertain whether this man, whether it was conceivable to take this man as a prisoner.
Well, I don't know where you're getting that.
Yep. Well, we're getting it because we know that he wasn't armed, that the SEAL was standing there, and that he, at least for whatever time you allow for these things, accorded moments to consider whether he could apprehend bin Laden as opposed to dropping him. So the decision was made, and he was killed. Tim, thanks very much. How's your wife now? She's settled in, I expect, all these years later, huh?
Yeah, she's doing a lot better. And life goes on, but I tell you, you're doing a good job, Phil. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for your call, sir. Appreciate it. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's move up the line here to Leon in Alabama. Hello, Leon. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that I believe that the Navy SEALs did a jam-up job. They did what they were trained for. And even though I don't agree with President Obama or his administration, I think he finally did his job. Thank you.
He did a very good job, as a commander-in-chief,
Are you guys trying to say that Obama's somehow now some kind of John Wayne or something? Is that it? Because...
No, I'm saying that Obama did a good job of that. Isn't that what you're saying, Leon? We're not going to knock the president for doing a bad job here.
No, I just believe he did his job. He stopped a threat, and it was a necessity. And he proved himself that he's capable of making a decision and sticking to it.
Well, Leon, this is Don Mixa in Washington. I don't think you saw the front page of the Daily. I was walking across campus with my fist in the air because I was one of the few people in this country today to say, hey, wait just a minute. Bin Laden was standing there without any pants, and we shot him. You know, there's an old saying, you never shoot a man when he before he puts his pants on. You know?
And, well, there's one thing about it. You or I, we weren't there. Without a doubt, we weren't there.
I feel I was there.
What does that mean, you feel you were there?
I feel I was there as an American citizen. I was in spirit with those SEALs. All of us were there. We were there with those men. They were carrying with them the hopes and the dreams and the aspirations of the American people. They were carrying with them our lifeblood. And I feel I was there. And I wouldn't have shot Bin Laden without throwing him a pair of pants or some shorts.
Well, guess what, man? I don't know how you were there, but the guy that was really there didn't hear you or didn't pick up the vibe you were trying to lay on him because he went ahead and shot him.
Does that mean, so what does that mean? I'm some kind of boy, so I didn't matter?
So anyway, Leon, thank you very much for your call.
Wait. I want to
yes, sir, thank you.
Do I matter or don't I?
Yes, you matter as a human being. You matter as an American citizen. You matter. You don't. Your opinion right now doesn't matter because it's up the thing. 877-876-7445. The shooting of Bin Laden and the entering of Pakistan by an armed military force of the United States, which was done, we are assuming now, without the knowledge of the Pakistani government. However, I will tell you this. They may not have had foreknowledge of this particular operation, but I refuse to believe that the Pakistani government does not or is not aware of ongoing U.S. military operations that do sometimes cross over, for instance, the drone attacks. And I refuse to believe that they have not been in approval of those. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back with Don Mixon. More on whether Bin Laden should have been thrown a pair of pants or shot.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Osama bin Laden was killed in this compound in Pakistan by United States Navy SEALs. Today, Obama administration said that first reports that Osama bin Laden was armed or that there was a woman used as a shield are incorrect reports, that Osama bin Laden was not armed, that the woman was not so much a shield as she was simply in the way. She was shot in the leg. She is alive and is in Pakistan. Osama bin Laden is dead and laying somewhere at the bottom of the Arabian Sea. 877-876-PHIL.
You know, hold on for a minute, Phil. You know, you get off some cheap line like that, making light of a situation where a man has lost his life. And
you were here saying that you would throw a man his pants instead of shoot him. So, you know something? You're making a big joke out of this, too. And I don't really hear you taking this as seriously as you think it is. You're saying violations of international law. You know, if this had been George Bush and this had been a Bush operation and it had been a conservative administration, I mean, you know, I know, the whole freaking world knows it would have been a war crime. It would have been the worst thing that ever happened. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to a phone call here before the hour. Next hour, we have our news and information hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. This is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Yes. I won't even give him the dignity of calling him a gentleman. This guy is beyond the pale. He hasn't yet answered the question, what chance did he give the 3,000 or more people that were died on 9/11? What chance did he give them? Ask him that question, and what his answer is going
what
to
chance?
Be. I don't know. The
Don,
guy is a nutcake. He's a
what
nutcake.
What chance did he give those people?
I believe, Mr. Henry, that we knew that Osama bin Laden was operating in the coal incident, and so we knew we had. He gave us a chance when he blew up those embassies. That was his serving notice. You know, what about that?
Well, what are you? What novel are you bringing up? You're bringing up a different thing altogether. Answer the question. What chance did he give these 3,000 people? What chance did he give them?
He gave them a chance by blowing up the embassies first and saying, see?
Uh-huh. Is that your answer?
Is that your answer?
Yes, that's my answer.
That's
I was
a stupid
on the cover
answer.
Of the Daily.
That doesn't answer the question.
Daily.
That doesn't answer the question. What chance did he give these 3,000 people? Some of them could have been sitting on a toilet half naked. You're talking about putting pants on a person. What chance did he give them?
That the planes hit at 9:30 in the morning. Everybody was out of bed with their pants on.
Could have been people sitting on toilets in those buildings. What chance did they have?
They
were half naked too.
I doubt that very seriously. I doubt it very seriously that anybody.
You're doubting it. How do you know? That
because
building had how many floors? Did each building had over 100 floors. You mean to tell me there weren't any possibly people sitting on toilets using toilets? What chance
not
did they have?
Hour.
Huh?
There wouldn't have been people on the toilet at that hour.
Why not?
People in the middle of the night go to the John, in case you don't know it. Now, what excuse do you have to that, sir? What
here is my,
do you have to that?
Everyone, your bowel movement is generally before 8 a.m., all right? So right there.
What is that supposed to mean?
Stupid
you asked me
you're
a question.
You're stupid. Get off the air. Sure. You're wasting people's time.
Osama bin Laden.
Get off the air.
Building.
You're stupid.
I was on the cover of the Daily, were you? No.
Who cares what cover you're on? You're stupid. They put Hitler's face on the cover, too, when they killed him.
Hitler?
On
the cover? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, on the cover of Time magazine.
No.
That's a fact.
Yes, it did happen. They had a picture of Hitler on Time.
No, that's
bad. That's right.
Never
that's
happened.
How little
never
he knows
happened.
Of history. This guy's a complete
jerk. That's one of the most famous Time covers.
Look, this is your program, Bill. Get him off the air.
Hitler put his own picture on the cover of Germany's version of Time.
Here we go. Here we go.
You know,
this guy is a complete jerk. Get him off the air.
People in their bowel movements before 8 a.m. You don't know what you're talking about. Get this guy out of here, Phil.
No, I'm going
to
hang up on you.
Get this guy off the air is my thing to you, Phil.
I want you to get him off the air, Phil.
No, I'm going
to
hang up on you.
Get this other guy off the air.
Good.
No. Bad.
Good.
Phil Hendry.
Bad. Bad.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
On the first floor of bin Laden's building, two Al-Qaeda couriers.
Well, my words were very hurtful. They do not represent my heart.
Well, I like them because they teach you everything.
Facebook in particular is the most appalling spot.
I am gay.
They look like a bazooka.
It sounds racist to me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and we go places other talk shows wish they could. And welcome to a radio show that is for patriots, by patriots, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's right. Go get your backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of our show every night here on the Phil Hendry Show, Phil TV in HD. You can also access the largest archive of any individual radio show in the history of the world. That is our archive. We have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of great radio. We also have, of course, our news feed. We have our blogs. We have email to reach out and touch. And more. We have our classic podcast, and we have our daily podcast. You sign up for your podcast through iTunes, and you get a podcast of our show every single day. This hour, we have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right, man. I was wondering if you're going to talk about that mummified lady.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the mummified lady. This is the most unbelievable story. And we will get into bin Laden, bud. Don't worry about it.
Well, I got a couple of ideas about bin Laden and with the stuff that the people were saying, too.
All right, you have some opinions, in other words.
Yeah.
Fine, fine. But what Robert just said, I think, is interesting and tragic and sad and weird and all rolled together. It's a very bizarre headline, and I will just give it to you. Mummified body of former Playboy playmate Yvette Vickers found in her Benedict Canyon home. Now, what is that? Yvette Vickers, an early Playboy playmate whose credits as a B-movie actress included such cult films as Attack of the 50-Foot Woman and Attack of the Giant Leeches, was found dead last week at her Benedict Canyon home. Her body appears to have gone undiscovered for months. Vickers was 82, and she had not been seen in a long time. A neighbor discovered her body in an upstairs room at her West Wanda Drive home on April the 27th. Its mummified state suggested she could have been dead for close to, get a load of this, a year.
Now, wait a minute, man. How come that it did not have no, they call it decompose?
Well, now, that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, a lot of times it's rotten, and the cops will go, it stinks.
Yes, I know, bud. God. Do you understand, if the air temperature is just right, if it's dry enough, certain things can exist in the air of the room that a body is in that are just right so that the body does not necessarily decompose the way we would think. In point of fact, it sort of just dries out like a mummy. And, you know, not to get too graphic, but in the deserts of Western China, for instance, they have found mummified remains. And these are 3,000-year-old mummies that they have found in the deserts of Western China. And these remains were mummified because the air in the desert is obviously so very, very dry. And these bodies were buried at a just below the surface level in a very dry chamber for 3,000 years, man. And you remember they uncovered those Caucasian-looking mummies out in Western China, and the beard on the guy was still visible. He had red hair, and there were two females.
That the woman lady had a witch hat?
Yeah, that was the one where they found these mummies of Caucasians, and they theorized that these Caucasians had traveled by way of horseback because the age of these mummies was consistent with how long ago horses had been domesticated. So, in other words, you're not going to get that far east. If you're a Caucasian from the mountains of Europe, and you find your way all the way across Asia some 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, and you wind up in Western China, how'd you get there, man? You must have been on horseback at least.
Yeah, they could have walked.
Well, they could have walked, but the fact is, what do you mean walked, man? What cat's going to do that and not die, you know?
Yeah, but they're curious. That's the whole spirit of mankind, being curious that a guy walked.
Cat ain't going to walk, man. In other words, we had domesticated horses by that point, so they figured that they were on horseback. And they were also found near the Silk Route or the Silk Trail or whatever the hell that thing's called. So there's a lot of traffic. Anyway, they found these people, the point that I'm trying to make, and they were mummified. And yeah, one of the women had one of these large conical witch hats, you know. It's not a witch. I mean, that's what we think of. We think of Halloween. But actually, this big, tall, conical hat, they think, belonged to this woman because she might have been a priestess. She might have been a shaman of some kind. She might have been the wise woman of the clan or this tribe, and so she had this big, tall, pointed hat. Can you dig that, man? Imagine being taken back in time, okay?
Yeah.
And this is pre-Christian times, so you're just walking along, and there's a woman sitting in China, and she looks like she's from Ireland, and she has a pointed hat, and they're worshiping the sun.
Is that what they did then?
That's what they worshiped. Before the Jewish monotheism and before Christianity, before any of that stuff, most peoples of the world were, in some form or another, sun worshippers. So here's this lady with a pointed hat, a guy with red hair. They're smoking big, fat joints because they also found them with weed.
Get out of here, man. You put me on that?
I am not kidding you. They found them with bags of dope.
You're kidding now, I know.
No, I'm not, man. They found them with cannabis.
Can you tell me the lady got on a witch hat? She's smoking a big, fat joint with a red-headed man there in China.
Yes. There's a lady with a pointed hat smoking a big fat joint with a red-headed man, and they're in China 4,000 years ago.
You're out of your mind. There'd never be a way.
All right, well, that's fine, bud, but we're way off the point here, man. Way off the point here, guys. What am I talking about?
Well, you're talking about that Playboy bunny.
Playboy Playmate. Anyway.
What's the difference?
The Playboy Playmate is the one they take the picture of. The bunny is the cocktail waitress.
Oh.
Anyway, how does a body become mummified? Natural mummification, preservation without the help of ancient Egyptian-style processes, isn't as rare as you might think. The press officer for the Los Angeles County Coroner tells E! Television that even in Hollywood, it's possible for a body to become mummified naturally. What a stupid line that is. Factors include temperature, dryness of the environment, and the health of the deceased person. Los Angeles County Assistant Chief Coroner Ed Winter told CNN that it's not uncommon for Los Angeles County authorities to find mummified remains within homes or the outdoors. We find a few every year. Usually, they are shut-ins and people that are reclusives. Now, Vickers had lived in the 1920s-era stone and wood home for decades and served as the background for some of her famous modeling pictures. But over time, it had become dilapidated, exposed in some places to the elements. Susan Savage, an actress, went to check on Vickers after noticing old letters and cobwebs in her elderly neighbor's mailbox. The letters seemed untouched and were starting to yellow, Savage said. I just had a feeling. After pushing open a barricaded front gate and scaling a hillside, Savage peered through a broken window with another piece of glass taped over the hole. She decided to enter the house after seeing a shock of blonde hair, which turned out to be a wig. God, this is giving me the creeps.
I know, man. I wouldn't go in there, man.
Anyway, the inside of the home was in disrepair, and it was hard to move for the rooms because boxes containing what appeared to be clothes, junk mail, and letters formed barriers. Savage said eventually she made her way upstairs and found a room with a small space heater still on. She was looking at a cordless phone that appeared to have been knocked off its cradle when she first saw the body on the floor. Savage had known Vickers, but the remains were unrecognizable, she said. She remembered her neighbor as an elegant woman in a broad straw hat dressed in white with flowing blonde hair and a warm smile. She kept to herself, had friends, and seemed like a very independent spirit. To the end, she still got cards and letters from all over the world requesting photos and still wanting to be her friend. Savage said the neighbors felt terrible. We've all been crying about this. Nobody should be left alone like that. How about that?
What about Hugh Hefner? He should have come over there.
How about Hugh Hefner? Why should he be over there?
Well, he's like the model. She's a Playboy model, man.
I don't know, man. Maybe he called her up and invited her over to the mansion millions of times, and she said, hey, bug off, man. I ain't like that no more, Hugh, you know?
Oh, you mean she got religion or something?
I don't know. I don't know, man. God, that's kind of weird, though. You know, you're such a shut-in that people don't know you're dead for, like, what'd they say, a year? How many friends could she possibly have if she's been dead for a year? Isn't that what they said? Her mummified state suggests she could have been dead for close to a year. She must not have had anybody in her life that cared enough about her to see how she was for a whole year. That's kind of bummed. I don't know, man. I was about to say that's kind of bummed out. How do you? That's wrong.
No, you say that bums me out.
Yeah, that bums me out. All right, 877-876-7445. That's a drag, though. Well. Last week, we told you about State Representative Sally Kern.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'd been, have been her friend, man. You kidding me? A Playboy bunny? That'd be hot.
She's 82, man.
Oh.
Yeah, but it'd be all going over there. Oh, wow, I got a Playboy bunny for a girlfriend. She's 80 freaking two.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did say that.
Yeah, I did.
You weren't listening. Last week, we told you about State Representative Sally Kern's racist and sexist remarks. They were very racist. They were very sexist. She's not too bright. She's sort of a dim bulb on the tree of life. But she says she's sorry now because she realizes this isn't just a matter of her having the right to speak her mind and everybody's getting it wrong. She realizes she sounded like she sounded like 300 yards of dumb. We'll play the audio of her tearful apology. Plus, a Steelers running back is taking heat for his offensive Twitter rants concerning Osama bin Laidlow. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back after this.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And this is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. And we're taking just a itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny break from the Osama bin Laden reporting. It's very important. We are going to get back to it. I will give you my feelings on it. There are a number of important things to tell you. And they're all true, and they're all factual, and they're all really smart, and that's what we do on this show, okay? What we do is we entertain you, we do a lot of comedy on this show, and then the other thing that we do is if we're going to waste your time with this horse dung political talk that everybody is jamming down your throat morning, noon, and night until you want to throw up, we give you the real stuff, man!
No, it's sitting around, man, talking like all them other guys.
We ain't talking like all them other guys. I'm not going to sit here and start... Because the script says I'm supposed to do this or that. No. All right, here it is. House votes to reprimand Representative Sally Kern for racist, sexist comments. Now, this woman, Sally Kern, is... we've come across people like this in the past. They're members of the House of Representatives, or some of them are members of a state legislature, or some of them are members of a city council, but they're not too bright. They come from the backwoods or something. They got some educational hang-up, some problem. They don't learn. They don't understand how life works. And so they just have a certain set of attitudes, and they suddenly get thrust into the spotlight as a congressperson, or in this case, in the case of Representative Sally Kern, I guess she is a congresswoman. She's an Oklahoma representative, a state representative. Is that right? What's the story with this chick, man? Okay, I mean, this story is the worst. Anyway, so she gets thrust into the spotlight as a state representative, and the next thing you know, she's talking about all this crap that she thinks she knows, and maybe her pappy taught her that, or who knows, but, you know, black, and she can't talk to a group of people to save her ass. In other words, if she knew that what she was saying was controversial, she might have found a way to say it better. Here she is during a debate last Wednesday, Sally Kern, a Republican from Oklahoma City in the Oklahoma House, suggested that black people are in jail in high numbers because they're lazy students.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are, and that's tragic.
Yes.
But the other side of the story,
mm-hmm.
perhaps we need to consider, is this just because they're black that they're in prison? Or could it be because they didn't want to work hard in school? And white people oftentimes don't want to work hard in school, or
really?
Asians oftentimes.
No, I can't.
But a lot of times, that's what happens. I taught school for 20 years, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't want to work as hard. They wanted it given to them. Matter of fact, I had one student that said, I don't need to study. You know why? The government's going to take care of me.
I see. Here is another flashback. Representative Kern then took on women workers.
You see, women usually don't want to work as hard as a man because, I mean, now get me, wait a minute, now listen to me. Women, hang on, women
tend
to think a little bit more about their family, wanting to be at home more time, wanting to have a little more leisure time. That's all I mean. I'm not saying women don't work hard. I think women work very hard, so don't take that the wrong way. But that's factors you have to keep in mind. Okay, women like to be willing to have a moderate work life with plenty of time for spouse and children and other things like
that. Oh, they do,
okay. That's all I meant, okay?
I see.
They work very hard, but sometimes they aren't willing to commit their whole life to their job like a lot of men do.
Oh, so blacks are lazy, but women just want to be with their kids. In other words, this woman, not used to speaking publicly, and she's probably never aired these opinions among educated people, suddenly... the sheer stupidity of this woman comes pouring out. Yesterday, here is Representative Kern offering a tearful apology.
While my words were very hurtful, they do not represent my heart and my actions of the past 60-plus years. I'm apologizing today because it's a biblical principle to do so. I want to be able to worship the Lord with a clear conscience. And I know there are those who have something against me because of my words. And so I'm publicly offering my apology and asking for your forgiveness.
Now, what's wrong with Sally Kern is that she, as a speaker, is not very good. As an individual who organizes her thoughts, she's not very good. There are those who would say she is a racist. We could have that discussion. I don't think it's very helpful. I think it's better, you know, the more I know about people, the more I'm really interested in how they put their thinking sometimes. Is I'm sure that she has these attitudes about black people and women that are pretty traditional for whites, which is, well, you know, these blacks, they do a pretty good job now, but it used to be. I'm sure she's, you know, right there, but she also is not a very good speaker because she doesn't organize her thinking, even to the point where she can articulate something without immediately pissing everybody off. So that shows you that she not only can't organize her thinking, she doesn't know a whole lot about the world she's living in. She represents a segment of Oklahoma. She's from Oklahoma City, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. That's a city, okay? So that's an urban center, which means it probably has more than just white folks in it. Nonetheless, I guess she hasn't been around the block. Because when you hear people talking like that, there's one thing that is for sure, they ain't been around the block. I don't give a damn if they've been around the world. They ain't been around the block.
There's a difference, too.
Exactly. There's a big difference. All right, Sally, way to do it, baby. I don't know whether or not she's going to get kicked out or what.
What are you calling baby for, man?
It's just a figure of speech. I don't know whether she's going to get censored or kicked out or whether they're going to, take her to the gallows, but that's the end of that. All right, we got some Bin Laden stuff to talk about, and I don't know whether I had to start talking about it now or not, but I'm not going to talk about Kearns anymore because that's about all I need to say about that. It's just not that interesting a story. However, what we'll do is we'll get kicked off, and then on the other side of the break, we'll continue talking about Bin Laden. There's a couple of things that have to be cleared up. One of them is this: he wasn't armed. The other was that they went into the country without any permission. Alan Dershowitz and his very magnificent pointing out of things. I don't know if you guys were watching any of the tube today, but Dershowitz was the guy that brought it up on CNN that I saw. We also have John Brennan and this other guy from the Situation Room that was with President Obama talking about interrogations. Now, it's very dishonest to say that no enhanced interrogation was used that led to the apprehension of Osama bin Laden, or the finding of Osama bin Laden. It's very dishonest. It is something I would expect those guys to say. The closer a guy is to the president, the more he's going to say, no, it didn't happen. Bull crap. That's number one. Number two. If it's illegal to shoot an unarmed man and illegal for us to go into a country without the invitation of that government, as was claimed today by at least one attorney, Alan Dershowitz, if that is true, then you have to give it the same weight that you willingly and gleefully gave to all the other transgressions that you joyfully reported about the George Bush administration. But they don't want to do that, do they? Why is that? Well, because it's a new day, baby. Let's move on. Let's be grateful that this happened, that the ends justify the means. Is that right? So there's a lot of hypocrisy that's coming out these days. Even Dershowitz himself pointed it out. Only today, Dershowitz said, I don't mind us being hypocrites. Let's just admit that we are. Oh! I mean, what, you know, dude... When you start talking that way, I think it's time for you to hang it up. I think it's time for you to get your umbrella out, man, and go dancing off with Mary Poppins someplace. All right, we'll be right back with more on that and some audio on the corrected Osama bin Laden narrative coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what do you guys, which one do you want?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I got 19 bin Laden stories. What do you want me to read?
You ought to read the one about, what about that he wasn't armed like that other guy sitting in his underwear?
You don't want to hear about waterboarding, huh?
No, not waterboarding. No one's going to care. And even if they did waterboard him, they're going to say that, no, they didn't, everything.
That's the only part of this story that just bugs me beyond words. It's the, oh, baby, let's take this and run with the, let's turn this into the political football of the century and run with it. Oh, my God. If I read one more jackass on Twitter and that Penn Jillette Do you realize that fat, stupid bastard yesterday quoted a Martin Luther King quote that doesn't exist?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You saw that, huh?
No, what happened?
There's some phony baloney Martin Luther King quote, and the quote is something along the lines of, saving the lives of thousands of people or something, even if someone kills thousands of people, you should not dance, you should not be joyful at the death of one of your enemies, something like that. In other words, it fit perfectly the whole Bin Laden is dead thing, and we're all happy. Oh, here it is. Thank you very much, Rance. I mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy, Martin Luther King. Well, it was never said. It doesn't exist. It's a phony quote. Michael Moore, that dumbass, quoted it. Penn Jillette, another dumbass, quoted it. See, these two guys, especially Penn Jillette, who's a magician. Now, I do a talk show for a living. I do a radio talk show. Yeah, I do a lot of comedy, but, you know, I got 3 hours to fill, man. So if I'm coming off with a lot of ill-informed political opinions, I have a right to do that because that are what I do.
Right.
But if you're making, if you're making models disappear or whatever, or you're making Penn disappear, and hopefully one day you'll make your own fat ass disappear, I got a great idea. Why don't you bring yourself and Moore on stage, make both of you disappear. All right! Then just go make somebody disappear, man. And you, fat boy, make another movie. But what did they do? They come up with this phony baloney Martin Luther King quote. You wouldn't know Martin Luther King, man, from Satchel Paige. What do you think of that? Oh, yeah, man. They were laying that one on everybody.
I didn't know that, man. That quote doesn't exist.
No, somebody made it up. And so that Penn Jillette jackball, he quotes it. And so I said on Twitter, you know, that Penn Jillette is a blankety-blank little, I used the choice word. And he comes back and says, you know, well, if you're going to get it right, Henry, why don't you call me a big, fat blankety-blank? I said, no, you're still a little blankety-blank. You and your Martin Luther King quotes. So the thing that really, and the lady that tracked it down, by the way, is Megan McArdle, a blogger at The Atlantic. She tracked the original quote down to Jessica Dovey, a recent Penn State grad living in Kobe, Japan, who posted it as her Facebook status. And she said that it was Martin Luther King, this bitch.
Yeah, where's she living? In Japan or something? Do you think people are not going to figure that one out?
I will mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive a little. Martin Luther King. Yeah, bull crap. Just like that dumbass, what's his name, Jesse the Body Ventura, when he was quoting Thomas Jefferson. There's only one problem there, Governor. Thomas Jefferson never said what you said he said. And when I pointed that out to that meathead, he hangs up on me. That's what we're dealing with here. Let's get it straight. Let's get it right. Let's get it beautiful. It's a Saturday night. I don't want to hear none of this. Hey, Henry, why rain on my parade? Can't we all just get long? Can't we all share some phony quote if it's in the right context and it's a groovy thing? No, not me, man. I ain't going there, okay? I'm not going to be that guy for the Jets who is,
smell him?
You know.
You smell his wife's foot.
That's right. Guy's asking his wife if he can smell his wife's feet. I mean, come on, don't you think a guy has a right to... And speaking of misinformation...
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
So in other words, this is what we're having, the fire after fire after fire after fire that we got to put out. In the words of George Patton, God will not permit this to happen. All right. So anyway, the White House corrects Bin Laden narrative. He was not armed. His wife was alive. She wasn't used as a shield. Bin was wearing boxer trunks, not briefs. And the SEAL said, wow, are those JCPenney? He said, matter of fact, they are. Pop, 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 double tap to the head, smoke bomb, concussion grenade, they're out, they're gone. White House officials on Tuesday sought to correct the official account of the raid in Pakistan. Rachel Maddow had this to say. The
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
The raid in Pakistan that ended in the killing of Osama bin Laden, saying that the al-Qaeda leader was not armed, that his wife was not killed. Now, the new Defense Department narrative released by the White House and read at a White House news briefing on Tuesday said one of bin Laden's wives, one of his wives, One of these days, man, there's going to be a headline. One of Mr. Henry's wives said this.
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
Yes, Miss Maddow, realizing the mistake she'd made all those years ago buying all that hair mousse. Anyway, one of Bin Laden's wives was shot in the leg as she charged members of the commando team on the third floor of the compound. Now, is this right?
Well, yeah, another thing that she come at him.
Yeah, she came at him, man. I don't see how a weapon, maybe, but she come at him, man. She did.
Yeah, well, you guys don't know. You're just buying into this.
Yeah, it makes sense, though.
Makes sense? I don't know. All right, but anyway, she charged the guy. Maybe that's what they do in that culture, you know? The women, they all gather around their sheikh, and when they realize the sheikh ain't going to get a fair shake, they...
Shake a tail feather.
They shake a tail feather. Anyway, so one of the wives charges the commando team on the third floor of the compound. In the room with Bin Laden, a woman, Bin Laden's wife, rushed the U.S. assaulter and was shot in the leg but not killed, the brief statement said. Bin Laden was then shot and killed. He was not armed. Now, I can very well see the SEAL. This woman comes at him, bang, drops her. Had the wherewithal not to kill the woman, but dropped her. Now he raises up. And there's Bin Laden in his underwear or whatever the hell, however he was dressed. And what? You know, he's got this wounded woman bleeding like a stuck you-know-what on the floor. He's got Bin Laden dead in his sights. He's been told, we don't give a crap if you take him alive or not. Just, we're, you know, this guy's days are numbered. Oh, what the hell? Bang, bang, bang. You're dead. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, read the narrative in an attempt to correct statements by administration officials who had suggested that Bin Laden was armed during the raid. Under questioning, Mr. Carney said the White House stood by its claim on Monday that Bin Laden had resisted capture, but said that resistance does not require a firearm. Mr. Carney said that the new narrative was the result of fresh information, which gets us back to the thing that we said at the beginning of last hour, and it's the following thing. You know, all of this information that we got in the minutes and then the hours following this. And I remember, first of all, it was a drone. It was a drone that got him, and, oh, General Petraeus, you're a brilliant guy. Well, General Petraeus is a brilliant guy, but it was not one of General Petraeus's drones. We found out that it was a ground action. And then we found out that it was the Navy SEALs. Then we found out first that it was Bin Laden... who was resisting, that the woman was a shield, she was an innocent bystander. Now we find that the woman charged the commando team, all kinds of stuff. How many people were in the house? Well, we heard that there were only four. We find out now that there were all kinds of people there. And I'll tell you, the more I hear about this, the more admiration I have for those SEALs, the more admiration I have for those guys, because they killed the people that needed to be killed. They didn't kill any innocent people, as far as we know. I mean, I don't know, but this narrative, you know, and I don't even blame the administration for the ever-changing narrative. The people that I blame are the people that leaked the information in the hopes of what? Gaining favor with a member of the media or just confusing the issue? These were SEALs that were being debriefed, and they were being asked questions. Now the information goes from the SEAL to the guy that's asking the question, and somehow it goes from the guy that's asking the question... It somehow makes its way onto Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, maybe the SEAL said something.
I don't buy that for a minute. Those guys are trained. They're trained not to say a word. I don't know. I don't think so. Other than one SEAL says, I was downstairs. I don't know. It looked to me like she was being used as a shield. But the other guy that actually was killing Bin Laden said, no, she rushed me. And these two different versions eventually make their way to us. One is correct. The other is incorrect because the other guy was in another room or he had a secondary look at the situation. I don't even know how many guys were in the house. Do you?
They haven't said how many guys. He said about 60 guys.
I originally heard it was 24. Then I heard today that it was in excess of 60, which I'm not complaining. But again... I don't blame the SEALs, and I don't blame necessarily the people that were immediately conducting this operation. The people that I blame, and it pisses me off, are the news media and the individuals that they get their information from, their sources, who are so eager to spill this stuff out there that they just confuse things. Number two, these administration guys, Like, for instance, the so-called torture debate. These guys who are very close to the president are the least likely to tell the truth when it comes to this enhanced interrogation thing. Why? Because they don't want the smell of this thing all over President Obama.
What are you talking about?
What I mean is, if they say, well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the enhanced interrogation, man, yeah, it did kind of do some cool stuff. And the cat is like a member of the national security team that advises the president. I mean, I don't think the president will look at this guy and say, it's been nice knowing you, but you're fired. And what the hell, you trying to make me look like a jackass? Well, Mr. President, I'm sorry. You just get out of here, man. You know, we're not torturing people anymore. I don't want the impression given that we got any information from torture, okay? That's all there is to that. Now, this guy, Colonel Morris Davis, that made these statements, was a prosecutor at Guantanamo, okay, and may very well be on the other side of the debate. There were others, though, that are close to the president, like, for instance, Leon Panetta, the CIA director, not as close as one of his NSC advisors, but he is a CIA director. I didn't see Panetta in the room, did you?
On that picture, no, but they had that one lady. And they finally did get her name.
Who was that young lady behind everybody? Amy something?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
There's a picture of everybody in the Situation Room. They're all intently staring at this screen. And one of them, there were two women in the room. One of them is Hillary Clinton, and the other is a young lady who was a director of counterterrorism, was the actual title, Amy something. But in any event, make a long story short, Leon Panetta said, yeah, it probably did, some of the information came by way of enhanced, interrogation. Yes, absolutely. So that's where that's at. You know it's true. We all know it's true. Why pretend, all of a sudden, that 9.5 years of work, as President Obama said it was, 9.5 years, that includes the Bush administration, suddenly comes down to all of a sudden all the Bush years is nothing and it was all developed by Obama? Is that right? Well, I mean, you know, that's what they want us to believe, and I personally don't believe that. Okay. Under questioning, Mr. Carney said the White House stood by its claim on Monday that bin Laden had resisted capture, but that the resistance does not require a firearm. On Monday, James O. Brennan, the top counterterrorism advisor to President Obama, said he believed that bin Laden's wife had been killed while trying to shield the terrorist. But the narrative released Tuesday by Mr. Carney suggested the woman who died in the raid was part of another family living at the compound. The narrative says that woman was shot and killed on the first floor, not the third floor where bin Laden was found and killed. On the first floor of bin Laden's building, two Al-Qaeda couriers were killed along with a woman who was killed in crossfire, Mr. Carney said. Bin Laden and his family were found on the second and third floor of the building. There was concern that bin Laden would oppose the capture operation, and indeed, he resisted. Now, are they going to tell us how? Neither the Defense Department nor Mr. Carney made any mention of the woman who was killed having been used as a human shield during the firefight. Administration officials also changed the description of how much information Mr. Obama and other senior officials of the White House had in Washington as the operation was unfolding. On Monday, Brennan repeatedly said that he and others in the Situation Room were monitoring the situation in real time. Mr. Brennan would not say on Monday whether the officials could see or hear the operation. He said, we were able to monitor the situation in real time and were able to have regular updates and to assure that we had real-time visibility into the progress. But on Tuesday, Leon Panetta, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, said in an interview on the NewsHour on PBS that once those teams went into the compound, I can tell you there was a time period of almost 20 to 25 minutes where we really didn't know just exactly what was going on. And there were some very tense moments as we were waiting for information. All right, so in other words, they don't have TV cameras that they're just kind of checking this baby out and it's just a fantastic thing, you know. But finally, Mr. Panetta said, Admiral McRaven came back and said that he had picked up the word Geronimo, which was the code word that represented that they had gotten bin Laden. World-famous Phil Hendry show, so there you go. So these things change as the days progress because they decided to release this. No, in second thought, we'll say that. No, in second thought, we'll say something else. And we have to be very discriminating as news consumers. I know they should be much smarter at how they are releasing this information. The media should be much more responsible in how they report it. But ultimately, you and me, And the good news is we are living in an information-rich age, so we can, in a very discriminating way, decide what is the truth and what isn't, because there's so much that we have to pick and choose from in terms of information. Looking for an eco-friendly alternative to cremation? We may tell you about it coming up next. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Keep that music up there, Mr. Engineer, as I've so often said. Now you can fade it down. There you go. Pardon me, folks, for having to give direction here on the air, but that's what we do on our show. 10 most useless college majors coming up, and then we have a series of comments made by Steeler running back Rashard Mendenhall. It was a hell of a running back. But Mr. Mendenhall is, I believe he's a Muslim. I could be wrong. But he's got like a Muslim name and a Jewish name.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Anyway, he said on Twitter, Rashard Mendenhall of the Steelers, he said, "What kind of person celebrates death? It's amazing how people can hate a man they never even heard speak. We only heard one side." We did hear him speak, sir. He flew some planes into a building. That was his speaking to us. "It's amazing how people can hate a man they have never even heard speak. We'll never know what really happened. I just have a hard time believing a plane could take a skyscraper down." So now we have Mr. Mendenhall questioning whether 9/11 happened the way that it did. "I believe in God. I believe in all of his children, and I believe he is the only judge. But I'm dumb enough to say the crap that I do on Twitter. Thank you, Rashard Mendenhall." Anyway, he deleted his tweet about 9/11, but some others remain. The Rooney family distanced themselves from Mendenhall in a statement early Tuesday. That is the Rooney family, the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers. "I've not spoken with Rashard, so it's hard to explain or even comprehend what he meant with his recent Twitter comments. I do know he's kind of a dim bulb." No, he didn't say that. He said, "The entire Steeler organization is very proud of the job our military personnel have done, and we can only hope this leads to our troops coming home soon. No contact with between the Steelers and Mendenhall is currently allowed because of the NFL lockout." So the players and the owners have no contact with each other. The players and management has no contact with each other. "Many athletes voiced opinions about bin Laden's death, but most were supportive. Will Smith of the Saints said, 'Rest in peace, everyone who died on 9/11, all of the troops that gave their lives as a result of it.' Matt Hasselbeck of the Seattle Seahawks said, 'Stating the obvious, Navy SEALs are studs. USA, land of the free, home of the brave.' And Derek Mason of the Ravens said, 'We can now have some kind of closure. The mastermind of one of the worst terrorist attacks on U.S. soil is now dead.' And then Devin McCartney of the Patriots, 'Hopefully this means our troops can come home soon.'" But Rashard Mendenhall, not only did this cat get off some comments about bin Laden, but he was questioning whether or not the whole bloody thing happened on 9/11 the way we said it did. Just more proof positive that if you, I don't know, it just seems that if you, like, play with a ball for a living, The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical direction by Don Naylor, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Until tonight, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Phil Hendry.